Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey, B.E.
Hey,
happy Saturday.
We're here, y'all. I hope y'all are having a wonderful day. Yes. So how are you, Toya? How are you doing?
Woo!
Yes.
This week has been a very challenging week, I'll say spiritually. It's been a lot of spiritual warfare that we have been battling.
Oh, wow.
So it has been a mentally draining week.
Yeah, warfare is draining. Mm-hmm. Can you, and without going into detail, but how do you know when you are experiencing spiritual warfare versus just, you know, having a rough time? You get what I'm saying?
I think you have to be sensitive to the spirit.
Okay.
And be sensitive and have discernment and pick up those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing things manifest.
Mm.
And so because of that, I'm like, we got to go harder.
Yeah. Amen.
And so we have just been more intentional.
Amen.
At praying harder
and
being even more consistent, even when we're seeing, like, actually seeing things happening. Without me going into detail, it's been a super stressful, and tiring week, but I know you don't stop.
Yeah.
Like, even when you see things, like, you just keep going.
When you see things, are you seeing, like, positive things manifest? Are you seeing demonic activity?
Demonic.
Are you seeing both? Demonic activity. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. And so, and I'm asking because there are so many people in the BE community who are probably, like, maybe experiencing spiritual warfare and not even realizing it. I will add and say spiritual warfare, one of the ways that you know you're experiencing spiritual warfare is when you are on the right track. When you are trying to do the will of God, or when you are doing what you know God has called you to do, you know what I'm saying? And it feels at times like you may be swimming upstream, but at the same time, you know, this is what God has called you to do.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to experience spiritual warfare when you're in sin. I'm just going to say, you know.
And I was calling all the prayer warriors.
Amen.
Like, ma.
Yes. Ma. Yes.
You know how to cast demons
out. That's what
I know you in Missouri, but you better
amen.
Send them prayers on.
Yeah.
And she was like, baby, that same power lives within you.
Yes.
And so I've been walking in that and with that power and authority.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like been a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's aggravating those demons and spirits that I'm seeing because I'm been commanding things.
Absolutely.
And so the funny thing, you know, Satan rules like the airwaves.
Yep.
And so I've been more intentional at night with ensuring that my kids are listening to Christian music.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes they're like, oh, well, it's Sonic. And I'm like, I'm listening to the word. I'm like,
yep.
No, I said, because we got to close every
portal
in this household.
Come on.
And so I've been teaching them to tell Alexa to play like Maverick City playlist.
Yes.
Or like a Lecrae
playlist.
Absolutely. And so one night in particular this week, they came into my room while I was still praying. And they were like, Alexa's not listening to me. It's not listening to me.
I bet she ain't.
It's not listening to me. It's just, it's not playing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went into the room and I said, I command you to work in the name of Jesus. And then I told Alexa play.
Go ahead, mama.
The Lecrae, and then it started playing and the kids were like,
yes, mama.
I said, what was that? Did you I said the name of Jesus has power. You guys better know it.
Amen.
And you better learn it.
Amen.
Because one of them was like, what magic was that? I said, baby, that's not magic.
Come on now, that's anointing.
Yes. I said, that's not magic. I said, it's the power of Jesus.
Amen.
And so it was just just their faces, like seeing me operate in that way, because they were like, we keep telling it to play and it's not playing any of the songs, any of the Christian songs. It would say, like, you know how it'll say it's listening and it, but it never was playing the song.
It won't respond.
It did not respond. And I watched them do it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I command you to work.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on.
And then I told Alexa. And then it started playing the song that I want. And the girls were like,
yes, you are mothering in ways you cannot even fathom, Toya. For real. For real, for real. Like, that's the kind of stuff that they need to know as they're growing up in this world and living in this life now more than ever.
Yeah.
So lead the way, baby. Lead the way.
I said, the name of Jesus has power. Y'all better.
Come on, mama.
Y'all better learn. And then I walked on out.
You're like, and we're done here.
And they were just like,
Get it, mama. No, that's so good, y'all. And that, even going back to the whole, you know, Satan being prince of the airways, that's why it's so important to audibly speak the word of God. You know what I mean? To audibly declare his promises over your life. You get what I'm saying? Because it commands things. It sets the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. So you better do it, mama. And I love your mama's like, look, you got that same power, sugar. Look, like we talked about. It's
she
in
was
your
like,
name.
Don't you walk in fear, baby. I said, yes, ma'am.
Come on, Kashawn. Bloom in the darkness. Bloom in the darkness.
She said, you better not be scared. You know, you don't be scared. You better keep going. I said, yes, ma'am.
I love it.
So I got to, you know, I've been calling my prayer warriors with me. I'm like, I got this, but I know you're in Missouri.
Yeah.
I need some extra prayers. Because it has been a very challenging time, but all that to say is I'm not backing down.
Amen. As you should not, because it means you're on the brink. You know what I mean? You're on the brink of some breakthroughs.
And y'all don't hear about my testimony.
Oh yes.
Once we come all the way through this.
We're ready. I love it. I love it. Whew. Wow. Well, I don't even look off the heels of that. I'm like, I'm over here beach tanned because I've been
living your best life. Celebrating your birthday.
I have been. We had an opportunity to get away for a few days, and it was a challenge because literally the last, I would say, 6 to 7 weeks have been cray cray, like on every front, like family cray cray, work cray cray, like, and it literally took, it was a step of faith for me to be like, you know what, I am unplugging. At least on my birthday I have to unplug, because it's not going to do me any good to, you know, be hundreds of miles away from home and still be, you know, responding to emails, still be answering my phone, still be. And so literally I was like, God, I have to trust you, and I have to really just take a step back and unplug and recharge. And he met me. So I'm so grateful. And when we were, you know, when we were coming in the studio setting up, I was like, I'm trying to hold on, girl. I'm trying to hold on to the peace that I, you know, have found. And even as life is picking back up, it's like, okay, God, like, help me to hold on to this peace. Help me to hold on to this joy. Help me to hold on to this grace, to this strength. So yes, I'm here. But yes, I did have the opportunity to celebrate my birthday. Hallelujah. It was a milestone birthday, so I'm really excited. My husband threw a birthday dinner for me the week before, so that was really cool to kind of kick it off with family and friends. One of my good friend to the show, Sharita Hope Dance, got to give you a shout out, actually drove in town to celebrate with me, so that was super special because we had not, just the two of us, spent time together in a while. I mean, of course, I've seen her and we've hung out, but I told her, I was like, oh, I love it. It's just me and you time. So it was really good. And then my favorite place, if y'all know, my favorite place is the ocean. So I was soaking it in, y'all, just to hear the waves. Like, literally, I could just feel my shoulders relaxing, cortisol levels dropping. Like, I could just feel like my body shifting. And so it was great to be by the ocean. The weather was beautiful. It wasn't too hot, wasn't too cold. So we were able to just really just enjoy each other, got some spa time in. It was just a really, really good time. And so, so we are slowly but surely inching back into life as we know it. but I am grateful for all the birthday wishes as well. Toya, thank you for the shout out. Yes. Thank you, BE Community, for the shout out, for the love, all of it. And y'all know me, April is legacy month. So I will be celebrating continually. There are some other things that I want to do this month that I haven't had the opportunity to do in a while. And so I'll be sharing those, you know, in future episodes and posting about them. But yeah, legacy month is here and in full effect. So I am grateful for another year of life and grateful for each one of y'all. So yeah.
Yeah. And what's up, Latrinka?
Yes.
Chat. Hey, Trinka. Good morning.
Good stuff.
Yes. Peace is precious.
It is.
That birthday chick. She loves it.
You got to hold on to it anyway, even in the midst of warfare, in the midst of storms, yes. Like you hold on to it because your peace is not predicated on your circumstances. It's predicated on your perspective, your posture, and manifesting the presence of God in your life, wherever you go, whatever you're doing. So. Amen and amen. So shall we start sipping on some tea?
We sipping tea today, y'all.
Yes. Sipping tea with BE. So it's been a while since we've done one of these. We were talking about this episode and what we wanted to do and what we wanted to talk about. So sipping tea. Now, tea for us is an acronym, y'all. We're not going to sit here and gossip all day. I hope you ain't think that's what we was about to do. You might have got excited if that's what you thought we was going to do. But that's okay. That's okay. It is still going to be exciting. It's still going to be some good stuff. But yes, so T for us is an acronym. So T stands for truth, E stands for events, as in current events, and A stands for advice. Okay, so we're gonna be sipping tea in that regard. Okay, so shall we kick it off with truth?
Yes.
All right.
So looking back at your life growing up,
yeah,
what would you say was a mistake that you possibly made now that you see it as a valuable lesson?
And it's funny because when I was, you know, thinking about what I wanted my responses to be, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a deep response, but then we started off in the deep end, girl, so we here. So I would say a past mistake that I made, I was right out of college, you know, trying to figure out what am I going to do with my life, you know, didn't end up going to the graduate school that I had planned to, actually ended up staying here in Atlanta, got plugged into an amazing ministry. So was on fire for God, but really trying to figure out like, God, what do you want me to do in this season? And so I was staying with a family from my small group. They had agreed to just kind of let me stay with them for a couple months, actually turned into like 2 years. Thank God for them. But and just kind of figure out my life. And so I, during that time, became really, really close with one of my friends from college because she was in a similar season. You know, we're trying to figure out what we're doing with our lives. We thought we were going to be moving out of the city, ended up staying in the city. You know, she was staying with the family as well. And so we were trying to figure out, like, should we just go ahead and get a place together, you know? And I really wanted to. I really was like, all right, yes, I'm going to do it, blah, blah, blah. But I kept getting blocked. I kept feeling like, no, this isn't what you need to do. And, you know, pride, you're like, I'm a young adult. I'm going to live my life. I want to do my thing, you know, and then at the same time, feeling like you're like mooching off of the family that you're staying with. So I fought it. You know, I held off for a year and I was like, okay, you know, we got close to signing lease. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Ended up moving out a year later. We got our own place and, you know, just as roommates and did our thing. I say it was a mistake because I didn't realize at the time that God was protecting me. But what eventually happened, and some of you, I don't know if I've shared this with the BE community, maybe some of you know, some of you may not know, I ended up in a same-sex relationship with my roommate for about a year. I don't know if it was even a full year, but all that to say, the emotional attachment that we felt towards one another manifested itself physically. And so I, you know, found myself, and at this time had just taken a job working full time in ministry, you know, was doing my thing for the Lord, was singing in a recording group. We were, you know, traveling across the country and found myself in this relationship. And this was the first time, y'all, that I ever felt like what I wanted was like diametrically opposed. Like I felt like this is me and I felt like this was the Lord and his will and his way. And, usually in the past, I would feel something like, oh, I kind of want to do this, but God would be like, no, I think you should do this instead. And I would kind of straighten up and be like, okay, you know, I'll go your way, Lord. But literally, this was one of the first times in my life where I felt like what I wanted was in complete opposition to what God wanted. And by the grace of God, you know, there was still breath in my body each morning because I was spending time with the Lord, and each morning finding myself repenting. And I just got tired of repenting, quite honestly, where I was like, okay, God, let me choose your will over my way, you know. And really in that moment was like, okay, let me, you know, let me embrace accountability, you know. And my friend at the time, she started dealing with depression, because if you find yourself living in sin, especially if you are in an active, vibrant relationship with God, then it starts to show up. It starts to manifest itself in different ways in your life. And so she started dealing with depression. You know, I was dealing with guilt and shame. And she ended up, I believe, sharing with one of our church leaders. And then I ended up talking with that same church leader. And at the time, y'all, I was working as the assistant to the first lady of the church. So I was in a very high profile leadership position in the church. And it was basically like, you need to tell your leader basically what's going on. And so I was like, all right, that's fine. But first I'm going to tell my mom. And so if anybody knows, again, I've talked with my mom. If you've heard me talk about my mom, you know, my mother knew everything about me, good, bad, or ugly, before her passing. And so we had a very good conversation, about the situation, and she didn't condone it, but she loved me through it. And she shared with me as well, just some of her testimony and some of her challenges that she experienced growing up. And it really helped me to know that I wasn't alone in just in my walk, and that there were people around me that were willing to support me. And so I told her first, then I ended up telling my boss, who was our first lady at the time. And again, she loved me through it as well. And I remember her quoting scripture where she was like, you know, well, the Bible says, if your eye causes you to sin, then you gouge it out. So what do you need to do in this situation? And so literally, you know, I turned my life upside down. You know, we broke our lease. We moved out. You know, our friendship was severed, which was incredibly hard because I lost an amazing friend. Like, that was my friend before it was like somebody I ended up in an inordinate relationship with. And so, like, there was a lot of changing and shifting that happened, but it was because I wanted to please God more than my flesh. And that was a crazy, crazy time for me. But I say all that to say, the Lord was trying to warn me in the months, in the years leading up to it. And I didn't see, I didn't know, I didn't understand, like, why won't you let me move in with my friend? You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to just live my life, be a responsible adult, you know, on fire for God, but you don't have God's vantage point. You don't see what God sees. And so I will just say, if you feel like the Lord is blocking something or telling you, hey, don't do this or don't move forward, whether you understand it or not, be obedient, because you just don't know what he's trying to protect or shield you from. So I know that was a long story.
Listen.
But that's what came.
I feel like we got to unpack.
Yes.
A little bit.
Oh, yes. But
thank you, first off, for being so transparent, mm-hmm. and vulnerable, because I knew that about you.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever shared that much on Becoming Eve. I think you've alluded to it a couple of times, but I think this is the first time like you have really delved into it.
Yeah.
So thank you, first off, for sharing that.
Yeah.
And taking us through the ways in which God was leading you to like try to block that from occurring.
Yeah.
And I do feel like sometimes when God is doing that, like, we're like, why, God?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not letting this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it? And sometimes it's like hindsight when we decide to do things anyway.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's what you were trying to prevent from happening when you go back and reflect.
Exactly.
But it's also so beautiful that you were able to have a transparent conversation with your mom about it and truly be able to be truthful. Yeah. And like having that type of relationship with your mom is beautiful because mm-hmm. that's not common.
Yeah.
Like I'm still afraid to tell my mama some yeah. things.
But no, I feel you.
Like that is not common yeah. to be able to be that open and honest. And that's mm-hmm. something that I strive for as a mom myself.
Oh yeah. Because you're doing it.
Like
yeah.
Your children are going to go through life and they are not going to always make the best choices. Mm-hmm. And we cannot live life for them. Yeah. All we can do is really instill godly principles in yeah. them and hope.
Yeah.
You pray to God that they remember all those godly lessons yeah. and things and that it's that you have built
that
a deep
yeah.
foundation in them, that it comes up mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. needed. So I think that's beautiful that your mom, you know, was able to love you through yeah. that. Cause I don't yeah. think that's super common.
It's yeah. You got kids getting kicked out of homes because they're dealing with same sex attraction. People getting kicked out of church because they're dealing with same sex attraction. And that's why I go so hard for that community. Not that I condone it. Let me be clear. I do believe though that same sex attraction is a sin, just like fornication, premarital sex, alcoholism, addiction. Like, but for whatever reason, we take that sin and we put it on a pedestal and we look down at people that deal with that more than people that deal with other things. You got pastors in the pulpit cheating mm-hmm. on their wives.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they won't let, you know, a homosexual in the church. So that's my gripe. I'm not excusing or condoning anything, but they are not levels to sin. That's all I'm saying.
And how did the first lady, what was that response like for you all? Like,
yeah.
How did she move forward?
And again, that was another miraculous situation because she loved me through it. And I was prepared at that time because, you know, I don't know if your church was anything like mine, but you know, if you in sin, you sitting down somewhere, you're not serving, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And I was ready for that. I was basically like, whatever the consequences are, I am, you know, ready for that. She actually pulled me in closer because she wanted me to, number one, know that I was supported, but to have that extra layer of accountability. Mm-hmm. And so there were a series of books that she did ask me to read. One of them, I believe, was Every Woman's Battle. Another one is When Godly People Do Ungodly Things, I believe. And she did ask me to start counseling, which I did. I did start doing counseling, and that kind of opened up a whole nother can of worms for me because it really forced me to start dealing a lot with my daddy issues. Because if I'm honest, and this is everybody's journey is different. But what I have found for myself personally, and what I've seen in other women in particular that struggle with same-sex attraction, is oftentimes there is a disconnect in their relationship with their father. Either their father was not there or their father treated them like the son that they never had. And their search for love, acceptance, and approval, you know, basically gravitates to whoever is willing to give it to them. And if it is another woman, then so be it. You know, in some cases, it may have been a heterosexual relationship that went wrong, or it may have been molestation or whatever. Like, and I'm not saying that is always the case. You know, there are plenty of people that say, I was born this way, you know, and there are people that are born with addictions. There are people that have a natural proclivity to sin. We're all born into sin. But that is the beauty of life in Christ, because it allows us to be reborn. It allows us to accept Christ as our Savior and to take on His nature instead of whatever sinful nature we were born into. So I am not saying circumstances are always what leads to people embracing that lifestyle, but I have seen it a lot and I personally experienced that. So when I was on my counseling journey, it really forced me to delve into a lot of my relationship with my father, or lack thereof. So.
Thank you so much for diving in the deep end.
Yeah, we out here now, y'all. We are out here. So yes, that's my tea. I feel like we're just gonna be doing one for each of these at this point. But
yes.
Tell me your truth. What is a lesson, looking back, a mistake that you now see as a valuable lesson?
When I was thinking about this question, I was also kind of reflecting on my life. And sometimes I'm like, well, was it? I mean, like, yeah, it was a mistake, but if I had made those mistakes, would I be the same person exactly. that I am today? Because yeah. I learned from those mistakes. Yeah. Because if I never made those mistakes, like, who would I be to minister to someone else or testify or yeah. have a testimony if I never made yeah. any mistakes, if yeah. I was just perfect,
absolutely.
You know? So I struggled a little bit with this question because I'm like, all of my mistakes were needed, I feel mm-hmm. like, to become the person that I am.
Yeah.
I know my parents sheltered us. Mm-hmm. We were very, very shielded from the world. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no secular music, no TV, except for on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And on the weekend, it was just like BET gospel or, you know, we were only allowed to watch TV on the weekend.
Yeah.
But then we had church all day on Sunday. And then Saturday, we were cleaning up. So we didn't have a lot of time for TV to get inundated with the things on TV. But once I got older and I started driving by myself, I could listen.
You got some freedom.
Like, yeah, I can listen to what I want to listen to. And then, but as soon as I turned that corner, I was, you know, turning back to the Christian station.
You know,
you start to do those things. Yep. And looking back, it's like, oh, there were portals being open. Mm-hmm. And like, my parents didn't really articulate the why behind why we couldn't do certain things, but we discovered it on our own. Mm-hmm. And thinking back, I'm like, that's when the portals were open. It's like when I started allowing like secular music and the R-rated movies and all kinds of things I was being exposed to. And I didn't know how to self-regulate.
Wow.
Until, you know, until I was just out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did I get here? Mm. And I feel like God has a way of getting our attention and getting us back.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, I have to be even more strategic in my children and like making sure that, there's a balance in the parenting.
Absolutely.
And trying to explain to them like the why. Mm-hmm. Why do we want to listen to this Christian music while we're going to sleep? And like, why do we want to do that?
Yeah.
And so, because they're like, what? Why can't we listen to like the kid bops? And you're like, because I'm listening to the words.
Exactly.
I'm like, they may not fully understand the words, but it's getting into them. And so I'm trying to teach them, like, you have to guard your eyes.
Yes, Mom. Yes.
You have to guard your ears and make sure you're listening to things that are godly, so that we're putting in godly things in our spirits. And so now, like, they've kind of been more receptive of it, but I feel like over time, I got to keep explaining and you have to be like on top of it because I feel like the enemy is sneaky.
Oh, yeah. It's not.
Yes, very. And I'm like, you think they're just watching a little Disney movie, but it's got these other agendas and these like Disney movies and things. So you have to be so aware. And I do appreciate my parents, like, kind of shielding us, but at the same time I think we didn't have like a balance and didn't have like the rationale behind it, which caused us to kind of be free out there. And like, some of my siblings I feel like just went like all the way when they got out the house, and I don't want that for my children.
Well, that's, and I think you're hitting on it. Well, you're, first of all, Toya, you are already on that track. Like, I commend you, like, just for the work that you are doing as a mother. Like, you are vigilant, number one, in teaching your children and training them up according to the word, but you are also vigilant about fostering relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the balance that you're looking for, where, you know, where you may set certain standards in your household, you and Ryan, but it's not just a list of rules. It's really helping them to see and understand, you know, how to live lives that glorify and honor God, mm-hmm. which is the why. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be praying that God gives you insight in that area, because I know, you know, the younger they are, you're like, what can I share? What should I share? How should I share it? You know what I mean? But I think the fact that you are fostering that relationship where they can talk with you freely is half the battle. Do you know what I'm saying? So I commend
you. Yeah. And like when you were sharing, I was like, I want that type of relationship mm-hmm. with my kids.
Yeah.
I want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. And for them to not to feel judged.
Yeah.
And I want to have wisdom in how to pour into them mm-hmm. to see them through mm-hmm. where they know that they are supported, because they're not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
They need to make mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that they can learn.
Absolutely.
Like, I made mistakes to learn. Mm. And my parents are not privy mm-hmm. to all of the mistakes mm-hmm. that I have made, mm-hmm. but I made them. Yeah. And I felt like life taught me, and I had to figure so many things out on my own, which is good. I learned the lesson, mm-hmm. but that doesn't happen. That didn't happen for all of my siblings. Yeah. Like, some of them.
Yeah. They're out doing their thing. Yeah. And here's the thing. I know you were talking about, you know, are they really mistakes if you learn from them? That's the beautiful thing about God, is mm-hmm. he uses our mess when we allow him. Mm-hmm. He uses our mistakes when we allow him, for our good, to transform us into the likeness of Christ and for his glory, so that we can point people to him and say, hey, I've experienced that. I've dealt with that. But guess what? God brought me through, and here's how he can bring you through too. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there is a beauty in our flaws and in our mistakes when they are yielded to God, mm-hmm. when they are laid at his feet. So all that from truth, y'all, we in the deep end. Okay. Let's move on to current events, shall we? Current events. Now, y'all know the last couple weeks, people been talking about our boy Marvin Sapp. Well, I don't know if he's your boy, Toya. I love Marvin Sapp. I'm not going to lie. I've loved him all the way from his time with the group Commission. I respect him as an artist. You know, I just think he's dope as a musician. He's a pastor. He has an amazing testimony. He lost his wife to cancer. Gosh, I want to say at least about 10 years ago. But a lot of the hits that you know him for, like Never Would Have Made It, or He Saw the Best in Me, or things like that, came out of that time of him really grieving the loss of his wife. So needless to say, he's been in the news lately, y'all. If you don't know, I feel like everybody knows at this point. So we're late to the party in that regard, but he has responded since then. So we gonna bring you up to speed, okay? So if you don't know, he recently went viral a couple weeks ago, basically for telling the ushers in the back to close the doors as he was preparing to give an ask for, I think, $40,000. So he asked everybody that was in the building and online to give at least $20. And then the leaders that were in the pulpit with him and behind him to give at least $100 to meet this $40,000 goal. So a lot of people had a problem with him saying close the doors, because he said it repeatedly and he was a little stern with it, like, close the doors. I said close the doors, you know. And so a lot of people like, oh, we holding people hostage now. What are we doing? So he has since responded on the Ricky Smiley show and really said, you know, it was an older video. I think it was maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. They were at a conference, and he didn't say lock the doors. He said close the doors, because a lot of people been going off saying, oh, we locking doors now, blah, 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 you know. So all that to say, he explained the situation. He did say he felt like his tone probably could have been a little bit better. But yeah, that was his response. So what are your thoughts on the whole, you know, close the doors, I need $40,000. What are your thoughts?
So, yeah, I watched both of the videos, mm-hmm. the one where he said, shut the doors, mm-hmm. and his response video. Mm-hmm. I do think his tone was harsh. Mm-hmm. I do think it is protocol mm-hmm. for when you do offering mm-hmm. to close the doors.
Yeah, yeah.
That is protocol.
Yeah.
So I do get that part. Yeah. I think people kind of twisted it.
Yeah.
And said, of course. He said, lock the door.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
He didn't say lock
it. He didn't say lock it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his tone was a little harsh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like feeling the pressure mm-hmm. of like,
give me money.
Like, yeah. give me $20. Like, what if you don't have it? Like,
yeah, yeah.
It did kind of seem like, mm-hmm. he needs 1,000 people yeah. to give $20. So that part, I was like trying to imagine like sitting there,
yeah.
probably feeling like pressure mm-hmm. to like, you know,
yeah.
Zelle, Cash App, $20. Like, yeah. my Cash App be looking dry. Like, I don't even know if I would have had $20, but that could be hard for some people.
Yeah, yeah. It really
and plus it could have been like after altar call or not altar call. The offering already.
Oh, it was like an additional.
Yeah, that's what it kind of seemed mm-hmm, like. It was mm-hmm. like an additional yeah. offering.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't particularly like it when they ask for yeah. additional offering. Because yeah. it's like, okay, did you take up one offering and mm-hmm. count like
mm-hmm.
how much? And mm-hmm. then now you're going back and asking the yeah. people for more money?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
part, a little side eye on that part.
Yeah.
But I do understand that I think the letter, the church wrote a letter and said that they asked him to do that. Like
okay.
they asked him, I guess, mm-hmm. to ask for an offering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so his response was like, basically, y'all need to know all the facts, people. Like that money.
I mean, context yeah, is key.
Context mm-hmm. is key. I wasn't getting any of the money. Mm-hmm. And like he yeah. kind of explained himself, and it was like a lot. And I was like, ooh,
yeah.
People will take it and run. I saw the memes out there. The memes, like yes. I never would have paid it.
Uh huh. Somebody said he would have saw the worst in me that day. I said, oh my lord. I get it. Okay, and let me be clear. I believe Black people in particular. Have the area of giving in church can be kind of a sore spot just because we may have witnessed pastors misuse church funds. You know, the church is in the hood, but the pastor's driving a Bentley. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen that, you know, and so I think that can be a sore spot for a lot of Black Christians in particular. I will say this though. I mean, number one, it's important, number one, to make sure that you are attending churches that are Bible believing, where, you know, the pastors are of reputable character. It doesn't mean they're perfect, but it means that they admit their flaws and they are actively working to become more like Jesus every day, just like you should be prayerfully. Okay. And then also I will say the Bible talks about money more than any other subject. And so I do believe that we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know what I'm saying? Just because we had a bad experience where a pastor was misusing funds doesn't mean we aren't supposed to tithe. The tithe is sacred. The tithe is holy in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Don't get me started on that. And giving is not for the church's benefit. It's really for our benefit, because if we can trust God with a minimum of 10% of whatever comes in our household, then God is able to trust us with even more. Because mm-hmm. he sees, oh, hey, this money ain't got a hold on you. So guess what? I can use you to bless other people. I can use you as a conduit for even more so that you can bless other people. So all that to say, giving, I believe, is biblical. And I believe God requires it and commands it. Now, the way he went about this, I don't even have a problem with him saying close the doors. I will say, I mean, we've been in plenty of churches where when you get near the end of the service, everybody about to leave because they don't want to get caught up in the traffic. You know, I've seen it during altar calls, which to me is even more rude, because I'm yeah. like, people trying to get their life to the Lord. People over here trying to get set free from strongholds, and you concerned about your parking spot. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's when I would really be like, close the doors, because the Holy Spirit is here. And of course, like you said, giving is an act of worship as well. So I could see why he would say that. But all that to say, the way that he said it, it could have probably made people feel a certain way, put them on edge. The other thing that I would say too, that I think Black churches in particular need to get better at doing, is being more transparent with their use of the finances. So, I mean, literally, I've been to churches where they have a monthly you know, statement that they may even put on the church bulletin to say, hey, this is how much came in, this is how much went out, and this is where it was allocated, you know, or the church that I attend now, they list out, you know, what missions that they are focused on and the amount that they have committed to these various ministries to say, hey, if you want to contribute, this is where it's going. So I definitely believe the Black church needs to get better at transparency with how funds are being given, even with salaries. I think, I mean, if a pastor's on full-time staff, you know, it might be a benefit to say, and you don't necessarily have to call out the pastor, but to say, hey, this is how much is going towards salaries, or this is how much is going towards church maintenance, upkeep, because ministry costs. Okay. Again, y'all have heard me say I've worked in full-time ministry before, and I know for a fact there are times when our electricity bill was 10 G's. Okay. So that's just the utility bill. That ain't nobody's salary. That ain't, you know, oh, we have an event going on, so we buying Chick-fil-A for everybody that come. That's none of that. That's like literally just to keep the lights on. So ministry costs, which is all the more reason why I think we should give, but you want to make sure that you're giving, number one, to a church where you trust the leadership. But then also, again, I think leading in integrity, like being vulnerable and transparent in what's going out, I think would also be a benefit.
Yeah, so. I like that transparency because I don't know of many churches that I have been to that are transparent with the funds, but they should.
Yeah. I think that would help. And again, you don't necessarily have to get in the nitty gritty, but I think the more visible a church is where they see, okay, hey, we gave X amount of money to this, you know, we spent X amount of money on that last year. I think it helps people to see that their money is being put to good use. So that's all.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you have on events?
I think we got to move to advice.
All right. Let's move on.
Oh, let's pick a good one.
Yes. I like the first one. We have a couple of these. So, yes. Okay, so I'll set this one up. So, recently on the Breakfast Club, there was a conversation about how many times, or I should say, how many cheats do you give your significant other? That's really interesting to me. The question in and of itself, I couldn't even get out, but it was just interesting to me. So there were a couple people that weighed in, and it's funny because I think all the people that I heard weigh in on the show were not married, you know, but all that to say, I think you have Miami who gave who was talking about like when you built something with someone, you know, you want to try to work past a person cheating, which I can kind of get to a certain extent. This is the person who's in a relationship with Diddy. Okay. So that's a whole nother story right there. Cause I'm like, child, he more than cheating. He is like living his best life and just, you know, got you on his arm every now and then, but that's a whole nother story. So Miami spoke out, Reginae Carter, who we met at Essence Fest. She's actually in our intro, if you watch very closely. But all that to say, she spoke out and she was like, I mean, if you're going to change your behavior, then I'm willing to work through it, which I get as well. Like, change behavior should count towards something. So she spoke out, and I can't remember if there was anyone else that spoke out. But and then, of course, you know, the various people on the Breakfast Club spoke out. I think Jess Hilarious was like, you get no cheats, because if I'm basically planning on you cheating, then why are we together? You know, which I get. To me, that's kind of like the whole prenup thing. If I'm planning for a divorce, why are we getting married? And then Charlamagne actually and DJ Envy had interesting takes, because they're, if you know their stories, they both have cheated on their wives, and they both like been open about that and just talked about the lessons that they've learned from it. DJ Envy was like, I leave the past in the past. I don't have nothing to say. And then Charlamagne the God is on a completely different end of the spectrum where he's like, Black men don't cheat. And I'm like, okay. I don't know if you're saying that like as a profess, like I'm professing that Black men don't, I don't know. But all that to say, you know, he was like, I get it. I've been on both sides of the equation. And so all that to say, what are your thoughts? I think we need to bring a godly Christian perspective to
yes.
this.
First off, I did watch The Breakfast Club, and I was like curious of what these women were saying when they yeah. were calling in.
Yeah.
And some of them were like, maybe four times. Some of their responses were like, it depends on like if they got money, yeah. it like yeah. how they look.
That's
I'm like, how insecure do you have yeah. to be to even yeah. be willing to accept
yeah.
that type of behavior
yeah.
and like kind of like negotiate?
Exactly.
Like, well, you make this amount of money, so like that's crazy to me.
Is that how much your dignity is worth? I'm just gonna say, if that is that how much your value is worth, like for real, as a human being, as a woman, is that what it's worth? Somebody's yeah. salary, somebody's car, somebody's lifestyle. That if that's what it's worth, then you are selling yourself way too short.
So I was like, this is the majority of the responses. So what is wrong with
yeah
these women?
Yeah. Because
it was like a lot of women yeah. were calling on the show and
yeah.
were saying like, oh, it depends. Like, was he out there on social media? Was he posting
My Lord.
Up with her? Like,
My Lord.
Did he have a baby?
My
like,
Lord.
What?
In other words, is my reputation on the line? Like, does it make me look bad if he cheats? Or is it our little secret? To me, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, you care more about how you look and what you have than what type of relationship you're in.
Which is crazy because you are a precious jewel. You
Absolutely.
Are a treasure
Absolutely.
That God has made.
Absolutely.
And you should not be allowing that type of
yeah.
behavior happen towards
yeah.
you. And you shouldn't be accepting of
yeah.
it. And it's accepting of it multiple times in
yeah.
some cases.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Very.
I think you need to take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
Mm.
If you feel that you deserve that type of person that will cheat on you consistently and, like, you're okay with it.
Because
God did not design us to experience that
yeah.
type of hurt in
yeah.
life. Like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. You're worth so
You're
much more.
So
much
more.
Much more. So much more.
And the scripture that's coming to mind, and I can't think of it exactly, or it's like, cast not your pearls
before swine.
Yeah, before swine. And I just kind of feel like that's kind of casting your pearls, like
yeah.
your jewels.
Yes.
To yeah. pigs.
Exactly. And that's how somebody that's going to cheat on you multiple times is a pig. I don't know any other way to say it. A pig. And let me be real. That's whether it's a man or a woman. I'm not trying to be, you know, sexist here or play the card of the woman, because I believe women, we out here cheating too. You know, if you know, the shoe fits, if the wallet fits, I should say, you know, we out here giving our time and attention to whoever, you know, as well. So you don't want to sell yourself short, you know, because money is fleeting. Possessions are fleeting. You know, I would hate for you to get to the end of your life and be like, I had all this stuff, but I still felt empty. And I never really felt true unconditional love the way Christ loves the church. Because that's what God wants us to experience here on earth, you know, through marriage. Honestly, he wants us to experience that unconditional love that Christ has for the church through our spouses. So I'm just going to weigh in too and say, by no means are we excusing. I will say this. The Bible gives, because we talk a lot about marriage and we're married women here. The Bible talks a lot about just the importance and the beauty of marriage. There are grounds that the Bible specifically lays out as far as being grounds for divorce. Adultery is one of them. Abuse is another one. Abandonment is another. Now, I will say this, and you may have seen otherwise, Toya. I've seen marriages come back from all three. I'm not saying stay in, ride it out. If your husband cheats on you, you and sin if you get divorced. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is just pray and make sure that's what the Lord would have you to do. Mm-hmm. Because again, we just talked about mistakes and God using them to make, you know, to teach us lessons and to grow us and develop us and transform us into the likeness of Christ. That could be one of those mistakes that God wants to use, you know, but again, you both have to be willing to work through it. Not just, oh, I messed up again. Oh, I messed up again. That's a whole different, that's a whole different situation in any regard. If they're dealing with addiction, if they're dealing with abuse, if they're dealing with adultery, like they have to actually repent, number one. And repent not only means to like apologize and then confess your sin, but it means to do a 180 and to turn from them. So if you're not seeing that 180 behavior, then you do need to at least put some distance between, especially if you're in a marriage, between you and your spouse. You know, if you're in a dating relationship, I'm going to just say run. I'm just going to say run.
You're not tied down to nobody.
That's real, because here's the deal. Dating, and somebody has told me this. Now, I personally didn't experience this, but I know plenty of relationships I have where they're like, the best you're going to get is while you're dating, and then it's downhill from there. Now, I will say,
wait a minute, wait.
Somebody said that to me. And because you're, you know, you're whining, you're dining, you're putting forth your representative, and then once you're married, it's kind of down. Now, that was not my situation. That was not Toya's situation, you know, but I am saying it becomes a lot harder once you're married to maintain that romance component, because real life hits in. Okay, real life sets in. So all that to say, if you're experiencing that on a dating scene, you really want to rethink that, because it we don't know if that's going to get better for you. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. And
marriage only makes it 10 times harder to deal with, honestly. But if you're married and you're dealing with that and you don't see that 180 behavior, you want to put some space between you and your spouse until you see that 180 behavior. And while there's space, really prayerfully consider if God is calling you to continue down that pathway, because it does take two. It really does take two to stay married. You know what I mean? To honor God, to serve one another, and to really live lives that are pleasing to Him. So
yeah,
that's my take. Anything else on how many cheats? I tried to ask
the audience how many times.
Yes, yes.
Latrinka and Jasmine didn't put
anything. They was like, I ain't like, saying nothing.
I'm gonna let somebody else answer that question. We waiting on y'all.
We have married women in the chat. We got single women in the chat. Whether you're listening to this live or after the fact, please let us know. Like, is this something that you would consider? Like, we're really curious.
Yes. And I say that, like, no, I wouldn't accept it, you know, but in reality, like intermarriage, mm-hmm. if something like that were to happen, mm-hmm. I can't really say mm-hmm. what I would do at this moment.
Yeah.
'Cause I think, like you said, it's dependent upon like what God is telling you to do in that situation. So yes, I would not want that for my marriage mm-hmm. or my husband to do that to me. Mm-hmm. But I can't say that I would not give him grace.
Yeah.
Depending on circumstances. I would like to say one and done, that's out, but
I mean, you got a lot of skin in the game.
We got a lot of skin.
Four children.
Then you got four kids. What's that child support check going to look like?
I mean, you have built something, you know what I mean, over the years. She said, what is that child support? Lord, that's a whole nother conversation. But that, you do.
And then, am I going to be the one taking in the school all the time and doing all the work? Like, you got a lot to think about.
That's hilarious.
I'm kidding.
That's hilarious.
Kind of.
She's like, kind of. But you do have a lot to consider when you have been in a committed relationship. Like, okay, is it worth me trying to work through this?
Right.
Is it worth it? Again, the Bible gives you an out, but you need to pray about that and see, okay, you know,
And if you do decide to stick through it, like, really forgive him
and really forgive him and go through therapy
and counseling or whatever you got to do.
Don't be throwing it in his face every time he leave his dirty drawers on the drawer on the ground. You're like, that's why you don't want dogs. Yes, you know how we do, y'all.
I sure would be that petty one.
Exactly.
Too.
Don't, don't do. And he, you know what?
I would. I'm not gonna lie.
Episode to watch.
Ryan, you know I would be petty.
Lord Jesus,
I'm not gonna leave that out.
God, pray for Ryan. Okay, but I was gonna say a good episode to watch because we literally had a couple on that they got divorced and remarried, but there was a lot of, you know, stuff that they had to work through. So watch the Kelly and Natasha Cole interview, you know, and we had some people watching it saying, y'all, I don't know. I don't know if I could do all that. I don't know if I could put up with all that. Again, that's why you got to pray.
You got to pray.
The Lord gives you an out, but it's really between you and the Lord and of course your spouse on whether or not we're going to try to work through this. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And really, if it is worth it, like you said, forgive them freely. Forgive them.
All right, we got some response.
What y'all say?
He would be broke and alone. Can't see it.
Oh.
I don't know. Is really forgive is in my DNA.
Well.
Once you lose trust, it's hard to get it back.
It is.
Then it would have to be God himself.
She need a burning bush.
To stay.
A manifestation.
Listen, Lord, you got to come down.
She don't even want the burning bush. She want him in bodily form to come down.
Come here.
I love it. I appreciate y'all being honest. Thank you, BE community. Thank you so much. Oh, my God.
All right. So, last week, we did a BE challenge.
Yes, we did.
On making sure that you were doing your research on one of the women in the Bible.
Yes.
When we were celebrating Women's History Month. This month is Move More Month.
Yeah,
for the month of April. So amen. Your challenge is to get out and move at least 5 times this week. You can go for a walk.
Yes.
You can dance. Yes. So many things you can do. That is your BE challenge.
Yes.
And shout out to Portia Love. Woo-hoo! Later on, we're traveling to her Esther's Arrival conference later on this evening. So if you're going to be there, make sure you shout us out. Take a photo with us at Portia Love's Esther's Arrival. So shout out to our girl, Portia.
So
Can't wait to see you.
Yes. Love it, y'all. This has been amazing. Toya, I feel like when you started it, first of all, you came out the gate guns a-blazing. So I said, okay, well, we're here. We're in the deep end again. Let's just go. We're going to call this season. Season 10 was the year of the deep end. Because I feel like
We did a lot of deep conversations.
We was out here treading water for real. So thank y'all for joining us. We're so excited that you were able to make it. And yeah, we're excited. We've got, believe it or not, just 2 more episodes this season. But we're going to close it out with a bang. We've got some special guests coming through. We got some girl talk. You know, we finish every season out with girl talk. So really, really excited. I feel like we've been had girl talk all season, but we're going to have the official girl talk at the end for our finale. So excited, y'all. And meanwhile.
Yeah, as usual, get your merch.
Please, y'all.
At BecomingEvaToday.
Go support.
.com. Get your mugs. I'm wearing my jacket today.
Repping hard.
Water bottles, slides, totes. Support us. And we will see you guys the next Saturday.
Yes, bye, y'all. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at BecomingEvaToday.com
or email us at evamail@BecomingEvaToday.com.
See you next time.